Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Terrible Double Tantrum presented by the Red Light Sports Network. I'm your co-host, Troy Otradovic, waiting for the other half of the Terrible Double Tantrum, Rudy Reyes, to join me live on the air. And getting back to it, last week we talked about the salary cap, talked about the Steelers not in a very good situation right now, with a lot of big cap numbers out there, some aging veterans on defense, a lot of big decisions to be made in this offseason, a lot of holes to fill on the defense. So tonight we're not really going to get into that too much. There's some big news, though, in Pittsburgh today, even though the Super Bowl is done, and that is Dick LeBeau. A couple of things going on with Mr. LeBeau today. First off, the city council declared this Dick LeBeau month. So what do you think of that, Steeler Nation? Anybody listening live? And I know you're listening live because I check the archives at the end of the show. So I know you're listening live. Give me a call, 646-200-3782. Let me know what you think of the city council making the month of February Dick LeBeau month. So happy Dick LeBeau month. Good for him. We've had this discussion many of times. Dick LeBeau getting up there in age, people said that he was past his prime, it was time for him to go, and I've always told people, be careful what you wish for. Now, Keith Butler, his replacement, is a guy that's been waiting in the wings, and we know why this happened. Keith Butler's contract was up. Bring Dick LeBeau back. Keith Butler probably jumps ship and goes to another team. Probably not as a head coach, but as a defensive coordinator. Does that for a year, two, 3 years, until he can really solidify himself in the NFL and then possibly move into the realms of head coaching. So from the business side of it, totally understand what went on there. I'm a Dick LeBeau fan. Thought he did good for what he had on defense. I mean, we got to be real, folks. Aging veterans. I said it early in the preseason, love Troy Polamalu, but he's on the downside of his career, and he's going to have a big cap number next year. So the decision, you know, could be his. Is he going to retire? Is he going to come back for another year? If he comes back, there's no way he's coming back at the cap number that he is right now on the books for the Steelers. Renegotiate his contract, but I see his role diminished. You had to re-sign Brett Kiesel. You had to bring in James Harrison. Now, granted, they played well. But at some point, you've got to develop these young guys. You got Shazier, Shamarco Thomas, McClendon up front. So a lot of young guys with aging veterans. I think Dick LeBeau did okay. But the business side of it, it was time to move on. You want to give Keith Butler, the man in waiting, a chance to go out and spread his wings and put his stamp on this Steeler defense. So we'll see what happens next fall. But it doesn't matter who the defensive coordinator is if they can't get bodies in there. And we've got to be realistic. It starts up front. I know everybody's talking about the play of the secondary, but if you don't get pressure, I don't care what team you are, you don't get pressure on the quarterback, your cornerbacks are going to get beat. And I'll even go into the Super Bowl. You got cornerbacks like Browner and Revis for the Patriots. You give Russell Wilson time, he's going to find an open guy. Go on the other side of the ball, and you got Sherman, Richard Sherman over there. You give Tom Brady time, he's going to find an open guy. Yeah, they can make plays. And I'm not putting the Steelers cornerbacks by any means into the group of those cornerbacks at this point. But anybody that goes out on that field and they don't get pressure on the quarterback, they're out on an island. And you can't expect them to cover a receiver for 6 or 7 seconds. And that happened at times this year. So really what the Steelers need to do is they need to figure out what they're going to do up front. And maybe Keith Butler has some unique way of generating pressure with the group of guys he has, but you still need to upgrade. You know, Ryan Shazier had some injury problems this year. I still think this kid's going to be a good player. You know, his grade indefinite. I mean, you don't know what it was because you didn't see a full, healthy Shazier for 16 games. Be nice when that happens. But I think he's going to be a staple in the middle for a while. Still need to get some big, beefy guys up front. Depends on how they want to run that defense. Could see a switch in formation. There, you know, could be coming down the line. We'll just have to wait and see what happens with OTAs and see what kind of defense they're going to implement. So with that said, today, though, the city council again said February is Dick LeBeau month. And on that great, joyous day, Dick LeBeau decided to go to Tennessee and become, I'm going to find the official title, associate head coach in charge of defense with the Titans. So he's not actually the defensive coordinator. He's going to work with Ray Horton, who is the Titans' defensive coordinator, but he's going to be the associate head coach in charge of defense. And I think this is a good fit for Dick LeBeau. I really do. He's going back, and he's with a familiar foe at head coach in Ken Whisenhunt, who, of course, coached with Dick LeBeau on the Steelers staff. They both came to the Steelers in 04, and then 3 years together, and then Whisenhunt bolted for Arizona, and we know that he had led Arizona to the Super Bowl against his former team, and then was, I don't want to say forced out of Arizona. The team was not playing up to expectations. They let him go. Went to Tennessee, and a horrid year this year for Ken Whisenhunt, 2-14. And, you know, honestly, I thought Ray Horton did an okay job with Tennessee. Defensively, I don't think that was the huge problem for a 2-14 team. Just offensively, I don't know what the Titans are doing on offense. But this is a terrible total tantrum, so we're not going to talk about Titans if our managing editor of internet content, Kevin Cunningham, was listening in. He'd probably call the show because he's a big Titans fan, and I definitely will get his thoughts on that about Dick LeBeau going there. But again, the Tennessee Titan defense wasn't the huge problem for Tennessee last year. It was offensively. You know, they just could not go and score points. They just had a horrid time scoring points. So good luck to Mr. LeBeau as he goes to Tennessee. I know there was a lot of talk about going to Arizona, but as I read the article, Dick LeBeau wanted to stay close to home in Cincinnati, and Tennessee like 4 hours away. So good move for Dick LeBeau. Just right down the highway, and he can get back to Cincinnati and be close to home. So I think it's a good move. I really do think it's a good move for Dick LeBeau going to join Ken Whisenhunt in Tennessee, which is a good move on that part. So the other news in Steeler Nation, and a little bit of debate going on about this, but the NFL 2015 NFL Hall of Fame class was announced, and Jerome Bettis from Steeler Nation made the Hall of Fame. Now, there's been some debate as to him getting in the Hall of Fame. I know Steeler Nation is happy. It's been a couple of voting years. He's had to wait a little bit, and, you know, finally got into the Hall of Fame. And so it's been 9 years since he has played his final game, and he finally got into the Hall of Fame. I know that on Twitter, Coach Goodpaster, who's actually called the Terrell Total Tantrum a few times, thought that Terrell Davis should have got in before Jerome Bettis. There's been some debate. I'm impartial to it. I look at these running backs, and, you know, Davis will get in. Is Bettis deserving? I would say he is. The type of back that he was, the way that he had punished runners, deserving of being in the Hall of Fame, but so is Terrell Davis. You know, I can't argue with Coach Goodpaster. You know, when you get to this level and you look at bodies of work and what they meant to the game, how they played the game, you know, did Jerome Bettis change games? My answer is yes. He did change games. He's a bruising running back that, you know, really could get you those tough yards when you had to. And so, you know, congratulations to Jerome Bettis. On the other side of it, too, his mom is battling cancer, so best of luck to her as she battles that cancer. But if anybody's listening live, you want to talk about Jerome Bettis, Dick LeBeau, give me a call, 646-200-3782. Give me your thoughts on Jerome Bettis going into the Hall of Fame and Dick LeBeau going to Tennessee. You know, not a lot of other news going on in the offseason. You know, Super Bowl's over now. You know, the good thing is the less we hear at this time about Pittsburgh Steelers is a good thing. We just talked on the Ramble, so I'm not going to get into it a lot here on the Terrible Total Tantrum, about the NFL this year. You know, I thought the product was really good on the field. A lot of good games. You know, when you look week in and week out, a lot of good matchups. You know, some teams out there that weren't so good, some mediocre teams, some really good teams. But a lot of good football, you know, on Thursday, and there was some Saturday games and Sunday games, and the playoffs were good games. You know, even when you look at, you know, Deflategate and that. But off the field, the NFL had a disastrous year. All started way back with Ray Rice and, you know, the Ray Rice situation actually prompted the Red Light Sports Network to, I don't want to say put our foot down, but to jump on board to raise awareness. So for those of you listening in Steeler Nation that want to support us to raise awareness, go to the redlightsportsnetwork.com, click on the $1 Million Ramble, and see what the cause is. And it's to raise awareness across the country for domestic abuse that there are shelters available. There's a national domestic hotline. We really want to raise awareness because it affects everyone. It affects the victims. It affects the families. It affects the workplace. I was doing an article for my master's degree in new media journalism, and $37 million is spent every year because of domestic abuse. That includes law enforcement, medical treatment, psychological help, all of those other things that we don't think about. $37 million spent. That's a big chunk of change, folks. And now we're never going to stop domestic abuse, but if we raise awareness, at least we can get people help, get them out of a relationship that they shouldn't be in. A lot of times these people don't know where the help is. The problem is that we need to raise awareness and we need to raise funds. And the article I wrote for my class dealt with shelters struggling to meet budgets. You know, a lot of these organizations are nonprofit. They actually have to compete for government funding. It's not just handed to them. They compete for it, and then they have to put together fundraisers, and they got to wait for private donations. And when they're waiting for private donations and fundraisers, if the money doesn't come in, they're not going to meet their budget. And I know Pittsburgh has a number of shelters that are in the same situation. They're there. They're going to give help, no questions asked. But they're also competing against all the other shelters across the country to get funding so that they can keep their doors open. So, again, folks, go to the redlightsportsnetwork.com. Click on the $1 Million Ramble. See how you can help. We're going to be selling T-shirts starting in April. It's going to be a great campaign. Check it out. See how you can help. We also need volunteers to help with time to promote the $1 Million Ramble. But back to Steeler talk. You know, I know that Rudy and I want to start doing our grading show, and we'll probably start next week with that on Tuesday. But, you know, we'll just run down it again, you know, when we're looking at this roster. The cap numbers that are out there and the ones that stuck out that we talked about last week, Cortez Allen, big cap number, you know, they're really going to have to take a good hard look at what they want to do. Because I've had this debate over and over with a number of people about Big Ben. The biggest thing is that they need to redo Big Ben's contract before this season. Two reasons here, folks. And whether or not you agree with me or disagree, give me a call, 646-200-3782. Give me a call. Let me know what your thoughts are on this. One is the cap number. If they restructure his deal, they may be able to reduce the cap number for 2015, depending on how they structure it, depending on the guaranteed money, so on and so forth. the cap number in itself isn't the problem. And I think there's Rudy calling in. So I'll let Rudy in as I'm giving my second point to this. Hey, Rudy, what's up, buddy?
Hey, this is not Rudy. I am no Steelers fan, all right?
Oh.
You got the name wrong.
Oh, I thought it was Rudy. It's Coach Rudy calling a terrible towel tantrum.
Well, I mean, this Jerome Bettis thing bothers me.
Well, you know, I don't know if you listened to me in the beginning of this. He is deserving in a sense, you know, and I get your point. Terrell Davis, very good running back too. You know, how do you separate him, Coach? I mean, this is a debate we can have. I mean, Steeler Nation, if anybody else wants to listen in and chime in, give me a call, 646-200-3782. You know, Coach, you get to this level, and you look at Jerome Bettis, what he did and the way that he played the game, he is deserving of the Hall of Fame. You look at Terrell Davis, what he did, he's deserving of the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's just a matter of how are these voters going to vote? You know, and I honestly think that it was a matter of Jerome Bettis and them looking at how close he had been the previous years, and they finally said, this is the year. We're just going to vote him in. I probably think, Terrell Davis next year? Is that your thought, Coach? Next year he gets in?
My thought is this. I don't think Bettis is one of the best wide running backs that ever lived. If you look at his career, he had 6,000-yard season or 7,000-yard seasons. He only had 4 seasons over 1,300 yards. He had 5 seasons under 1,000. Terrell Davis, 2,000-yard season, he averaged 4.6 yards a carry for his career. Jerome Bettis' lifetime was 3.9. I mean, Bettis only had 4 seasons where he averaged 4 yards per carry or better. I mean,
yeah, I think you look at the longevity of his career, though, Coach. I mean, I think that's what everybody's looking at.
Longevity.
You know, I think that's what they're looking at, the longevity of it and the way that he bruised defenses.
Wait a second. The definition of a Hall of Famer is one of the best that ever lived. Now, Gale Sayers only had 5 or 6 complete seasons. He's one of the best that ever lived. When I watched Jerome Bettis, I thought, that's a really good running back. When I watched Terrell Davis helped John Elway. It's like Reggie White and Brett Favre. The guy was so great, he put that other guy over the hump. If you look at Bettis, like I said, I mean, his last 5 years, I think his best season was 700 or 800 yards. I mean, longevity is great. But when you watch him, there's no comparison who was better. You look at a guy in Davis who won a Super Bowl MVP. This is in 4 seasons, 2,000-yard seasons, 3 of the 4 seasons, 1,500 yards or more. He averaged 5.6 yards a carry in the playoffs. Jerome Bettis in the playoffs averaged 3.4 yards per carry.
Yeah, I can't argue with you, Coach. I can't argue the numbers.
I mean, he's ordinary. It's like Pete Rose. Pete Rose was a good baseball player. Pete Rose had a lifetime 300 average. Pete Rose's records were based off playing about 7 years longer than what he should have.
Well,
he was a singles hitter. He was a good singles hitter.
Yeah, and that's where I'm going with the Jerome Bettis thing. He's been rewarded for his longevity. I do think, you know, when you look at his style of running at the time he played, you know, he was considered one of the better running backs in the league because of, and we had this debate again yesterday. You know, we're talking about quarterbacks. I mean, how do you do it with the different time frames that these players had played in? And, you know, I look at it now. You're talking 9 years since Bettis played. If you put Bettis into the NFL now, that 3.9 average probably goes down a little bit.
Well, and the thing is this, Terrell Davis can also catch
probably
become all out of the
fullback in today's game, the way that the game is played. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I think he could still be a running back, I guess, but he was basically a fullback anyways. And, I mean, the last five years of his career.
And that's what I'm saying there is that you look at, he was that guy that was that big bruising type that reminded people of the Earl Campbell type, and he had the longevity of his career. And he was a guy that could get that short yardage for you, could get that momentum-changing first down. And that's the argument that people are going to give you. But my thought, honestly, and I've brought this up, you put Jerome Bettis into the NFL now, yeah, he had some speed for a big guy. And, I guess a comparison is maybe a little bit of Eddie Lacy there. But, you know, he could possibly be a running back, but probably more of a fullback type, this the way that they're utilizing running backs now. That's my thought. I mean, that's
I think they're dumbing down the Hall of Fame in all leagues, and you're getting guys that aren't the greatest that ever lived in there. I mean, there should be no doubt if you're a Hall of Famer. And you get guys left out, like Jerry Kramer is a no-doubt Hall of Famer.
He wrote a book and he made the NFL mad. Because Mick Tinglehoff made it in this year. Mick Tinglehoff,
I mean, wasn't even
one of them. He was a good player, don't get me wrong.
There were three or four better centers in the NFL at the time, though.
This is my argument right now. And if people want to tell me, well, you can't have all those Packers in the Hall of Fame from that era, that's a bunch of BS. Because if you're going to put Tinglehoff in the Hall of Fame and you put Jerry Kramer next to Tinglehoff, who is a better player? Kramer, hands down, is a better player.
Different positions. Tinglehoff played a tougher position, but Jerry Kramer was one of the five best guards to ever play in the NFL. Mick Tinglehoff was not one of the five best centers to ever play in the NFL.
Exactly.
So Jerry Kramer kept out because of
politics. You don't
want to
get me started there. We've had Alicia Kramer, Jerry Kramer's daughter, on the show, and she's got a campaign to get her dad in the Hall of Fame. And I'll tell you, it's just you look at it, you hear the arguments for and against it, and, Jerry Kramer's not one to toot his own horn. He's a great guy, and he just goes with the flow. You know, like his daughter had said, you know, he's enjoying life. He's fishing, writing books, doing all these things, you know. But I'll tell you what, the guy's deserving to go into the Hall of Fame, and I agree with you that when you look at the Hall of Fames across the board in the major sports, I can't disagree with you, Coach. They're dumbing them down.
And in
that sense that we're calling these guys dummies, but it's really getting to the point where when I was growing up and Hall of Fame announcements came out, you were talking guys that were really top of the game. Top of the game guys, and it was a real exciting time for me growing up, Coach, to hear who was getting in the Hall of Fame. And I guess as I was growing up, there was a lot of Packers, though, you know, through the 80s and, you know, late 70s, 80s that were going in. But my point there is a lot of great players. Now you are starting to see guys that are products of systems. And, you know, I always thought the Hall of Fame was a guy that could change the game and really make an impact. And like you were saying, your thought is, you know, the best. You know, they're the best. And I agree. You look at people going in, and sometimes, you know, as much as I like the old guys, Coach, you know, the Jerry Kramers, the Tinglehoff, and all of a sudden they get to, what do they call it, the senior election committee or something like that. You know, I look at it from the standpoint, they should just look at them all and say, who are the best players that have played this game? You know,
I read an article the other day about a writer talking about Ken Anderson. And he said, well, Anderson should be in, but he'll probably get in around 2025. Either you're a Hall of Famer or you're not a Hall of Famer.
When he gets to the senior circuit. When they have that.
Yeah, well, he's in there
team.
Now, but they've got older guys that have been waiting longer, so they're going to let them in first. I mean, it ends up being a popularity contest. Jerome Bettis is on TV. Everybody loves him because he has a good personality. Terrell Davis is quiet, doesn't talk. The guy won a Super Bowl MVP, and he was the NFL MVP.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
you know as well as I do, Coach. You've been a coach. The writers, when it comes to awards, it is. I can't disagree. It is a popularity contest, and it's who's getting the most coverage. You know, and you throw it out that way. If we're going to throw examples out here, look at college voting polls. I mean, you know, what are those? That's all that is. You know, that is two there. Popularity contest. Oh, well, you know, I never really saw this team play, but I know the coach, so I'll vote for him. Or, hey, I saw the score.
The big thing that'll show me is when Bill Belichick has been retired for 5 years. Will they let him in right away, or will they mess with him because he didn't talk to them?
Oh, geez.
The same thing with a Marshawn Lynch. If he has another 3 or 4 years like this, he's a Hall of Fame running back. But he made the media mad because he didn't talk to him.
Well, you know, I have you on the show, Coach, and, it is the terrible tumble tantrum, but got you on the show. So being a coach, and you look at media day, my question is, on that second day, the day where he said, I'm here because I was told to be here, the day after he said so he didn't get fined, that was the day, that wasn't the national media day when everybody had to be available for the media. That was when select players were available. My question to you is, can't the team just not put him on that list of people that want to go in front of the media? Because it was a short list.
They
Why
probably
couldn't they just
getting,
say Marshawn Lynch is not going in front of the media today? Or is that mandated by the NFL?
My problem with this is this. I mean, he does this to get attention because they pay more attention to him because of it. If they would just – if nobody would have showed up to interview him, he'd probably start talking after that. But he gets a kick out of it. The problem is this, is that he's contract. He's supposed to talk to the media. The thing he's got to realize is it's not the media that he's talking to. He's talking to the fans. And it's disrespectful to the fans and the game when you're making millions of dollars playing a game that you can't just give somebody a quote and actually talk like a civilized person.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, if he was on my team, I'd chew his butt out, and he would either talk or he wouldn't play. Because I'm sorry, you have to respect the game. And anymore, people don't respect the game. And, I mean, the thing about Warren Sapp, stuff like that, the way I look at that is this. How many players are there in the NFL? I mean, you got 50 sometimes, 32. So you got, what, 1,500 players, something like that? Any word you
like
go 50, to.
78 when I did a study on domestic about a year ago. I think it's 1,578 or under contract.
I would say this. People talk about NFL players being bad people. The thing is this. If you go to Lowe's, 1,500 workers that work for them, probably the same percentage are buttholes and do stuff that
Coach,
they shouldn't do.
Did you read it? I actually have an article on the Red Light Sports Network about this, and it was about, is the NFL off the field as bad as people think? And that's when I did the numbers. The actual arrest rate for NFL players is lower than the national average. It's actually lower.
Yeah, but the normal person, nobody blows a big story about them up. But, I mean, you
exactly.
got guys like Thomas Davis. The NFL honors thing was a complete joke. But I'll tell you what, the thing that got my attention was Thomas Davis. I mean, why isn't Thomas Davis the guy they want to talk to all the time? You know, he's a guy that goes above and beyond what he's supposed to do to help people and to do great things. And probably 90% of the players in the NFL are like that. But they get ignored because people want to talk about guys like Johnny Manziel and guys like Josh Gordon. And, I mean, let's face it, Josh Gordon got busted for two offenses that are misdemeanors, but they want to blow it up. And the problem is this. He's a 23-year-old man who, I mean, has probably never been in a spot like this before. And, I mean, they blow everything he does up so huge, but yet they shoot players up with Novocaine. They give them Vicodin, which destroys their body and is worse for them than anything he takes. But nobody says a word about it. I mean, Josh Gordon is an idiot for doing the stuff because he's told not to, and he's making millions of dollars. You do what you're told there. But the fact is this. The NFL goes and gives players Vicodin, and it's real easy to get hooked on it. And players get hooked. Brett Favre. I mean, I guarantee you the team was giving him the drugs that he was addicted to. So is it worse for Brett Favre? I mean, I know this from teams I've coached. There's guys that are injured, that have a lot of pain, that don't want to take the Vicodin. And, they smoke weed. What's worse for your body? You got something that destroys your body or something that's legal in seven states in this country right now. And they destroy this man's career over something that is legal for somebody in Colorado to do. I mean, I think people overblow all this stuff. And it's nuts. I mean, the Hardy dude, the linebacker, was that his name, Hardy from Carolina? You know, he beats his wife up and nobody says anything about it because he's not a big superstar that people know. But yet they'll run all over Josh Gordon. And, I mean, Josh Gordon has gotten more crap for smoking weed and drinking beer than a guy did for beating his wife.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's hypocritical sometimes, isn't it, Coach?
Yeah,
it,
I mean,
really
you
got
to have your priorities. I mean, Ray Rice will play again, and he'll make millions of dollars. But Josh Gordon will be suspended for a year or two for drinking a beer after smoking weed. But this man punched his wife in the face, and he'll probably play next year.
Well, you know, you probably caught the end of the show. We were talking about, I asked Evan, what does Goodell have to do in the off season to take care of this? And, you know, like you're saying, I think you bring up some good points here. He had to try to make a spectacle out of someone, which he hasn't done, and then he's so inconsistent in the penalties that are handed down, and that's where you're going with this. You're not comparing, like you said, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're not comparing the punishment apples to apples. The punishment for beer and marijuana compared to domestic abuse, I mean, you've got to show a difference there. Which one is worse?
And I'm sorry.
And I think that's where you're going with that. Is that where your point was, Coach, or am I totally off base?
Yeah, if you punch your wife in the head and they have it on videotape, you should never play in the NFL again. And I'm sorry to say, well, everybody deserves a second chance. He's got billions of dollars. He's got a second chance. He could go out and do something with his life. But you know what? There's a lot of guys that have a lot of talent, that have enough talent to get in the NFL, but don't get in because people like that have jobs. I mean, once you screw that up, we're not talking about, well, you know, he got drunk at a party once and got in a fight. We're talking about he punched his wife in the face. He punched his wife in the face. Everybody makes mistakes. But I can tell you this. I have never been mad enough to punch my wife in the face because
I was
raised better than that.
I'm going to tell you part of that problem there. Then part of the problem I have with that whole situation with Ray Rice is his wife saying it was okay. I mean, she's the one standing by his side. And you know, that kind of gets to me right there, Coach, that, you know, she's the one saying, well, he made a mistake. And so she's the one that's – and to the fact that she's almost condoning the fact that it was okay and it won't happen again. But I guarantee, Coach, you've been around people long enough. Things like this, it'll happen again.
Yeah, once you do it, it's like if you start dating a married woman and she leaves her husband for you. She eventually is going to leave you too.
Yeah.
Because that's stuff that people don't get out of.
And so that's, you know, when I look at that situation and I actually, again, you're bringing up points where I've done a lot of stuff on the network with this. We had an interview with a young woman, Jessica Lynn Solsana, about this and, you know, talking about his wife standing up for him, that's just, in my book, that's ridiculous. You know?
Yeah, but it's, I mean, how many people do you know to get abused? Most of them think, well, they're going to change and they're not going to do it anymore.
And that was her point, because she was abused, and the reason she stayed so long, she was scared. She didn't have anywhere to go. She didn't have any finances. And, you know, I look at Janae Rice. She's looking at the paycheck. Where, you know, John, now she could probably get a lot in the divorce, but, you know, I look at it and you just wonder what's going on mentally with these people when they stay in those type of relationships. But, Coach, I got you on the air, and I know we were going to do 11 o'clock for your new show tomorrow night. Can we push it to 11:30?
Is that Eastern time?
Eastern time, yeah, 11:30 Eastern.
Eastern, 11:30 Eastern time? Yeah, we can do that.
That way I don't have to rush off the ramble.
Because I'm going to try to get Joe from New Jersey to call in again, too.
Hey, Joe is a good call.
Hey, we've been friends for like 12 years. He's a huge Giants fan. He knows his stuff, too.
Oh, cool. Yeah, get Joe to call in. Yeah, so, you know, anybody listening live or archive right now, talking to Coach Goodpaster, and Coach Goodpaster is hosting his new show tomorrow night. We still don't have a fancy name, Coach. So we're just going
to You're supposed
just
to come up
show.
With it. You took all that off my shoulders and said you would do that. So I expect one by tomorrow night.
I want to tell you what. A lot of stuff's been going on. And, you know, I'm looking at the time. We're in archive time. But I live in Pittsburgh. And so, of course, that's Steeler Nation, right? But
you live in
there's
Pittsburgh?
A,
what are you living in
when
Pittsburgh?
When I moved here, I didn't
you
even know.
You seem a lot more intelligent
that.
Than that.
Well, no, I didn't know this, that there's actually – the Pittsburgh Passion, a women's professional football team here in Pittsburgh.
I've seen them play.
I started following them when I moved here, and I was like, wow, these girls are actually pretty good. And Franco Harris is part owner of this team with Teresa Kahn, and I actually met with the Pittsburgh Passion today, and I may join them in an administrative role.
I thought maybe you were going to play.
No. They kicked the crap out of me, Coach. Some of those girls kicked the crap out of me.
I've been to some
Steeler games, good.
And them Pittsburgh women are kind of big sometimes.
I'll tell you what, they're good, and their quarterback, Horton, has passed in her career over 10,000 yards. So
a lot of them girls can play. I know Icky Woods, as the owner and coach of the Cincinnati Sizzle, a woman's team up here, I've seen play before, too.
I'll tell you what, and they're dedicated to it. And I had a great meeting today with them. So anybody listening in, and again, it is on a Steelers show, so I feel it fitting to do that. So my time today was pretty much filled up with that meeting, Coach. But I'll have a name tomorrow. I'll have the studio up and running. I'll send you the call-in number. I'll text it to you, or I'll just call you sometime in the afternoon. But
hey,
you got to bring up my
book too, because I got a book that'll be released on Amazon next week sometime.
Hey, it's your show. I'm just the moderator. I'm going to call in.
You need to bring it up all the time because I want to make a little money.
Oh, then tweet it out, and I'll keep
retweeting
it.
I tweeted it out, and you know what? Just like always, Evan retweeted it, and you didn't.
Well, it probably got lost somewhere in the timeline. Send me a text message. You got my phone number? Send me a text message. Say, hey, retweet.
I just like giving you a hard time, especially since you're doing the terrible. You do the terrible tower or tantrum all by yourself because you're in Pittsburgh. So you're gonna end up being a Steelers fan if you don't watch it.
You know what? No, I honestly will tell people there's no way I'm gonna. I cheer for the Packers. That's my team. I can talk about every other team. And I think, to be honest, when I do the terrible tower tantrum, I may get as many enemies as I do get people that like me because I just tell it how it is, you know, and I'm just, you know, I think that makes for a great show. You know, sometimes I even catch myself on when we're on the ramble talking Packers, sometimes the heart gets in the way. And, you know, you got as a broadcaster, as an announcer, you got to leave that bias on the side. So I think when I do the terrible tall tantrum, I just tell it how it is. So, hey, before I go, and this is archive time, we only got like 2 minutes left. Dick LeBeau, though, just a little while ago, is going to Tennessee. Good move, you think? Ray Horton's there, and
great
I thought
for Tennessee, he's a good coach.
Well, I think, you know, and I was saying in the beginning of the show, I don't think Tennessee had a bad defense last year. It was the offense that was horrid. But, you know, bringing Dick LeBeau in there, he wanted to stay close to Cincinnati. So I think it's a great move getting hooked up with Wisenhunt again. And I believe he is in charge of the defense, but Horton's still going to be the defensive coordinator. So I look at that, you got two minds. You got Horton and LeBeau there on the defensive side. That could be a good combination. What are your thoughts?
Hey, and real quick, I would like to bring up the fact to Rudy, if he listens to his show in archive time, that Dick LeBeau coaches Pittsburgh but still prefers to live in Cincinnati.
You got to bring that up, don't you? You got to bring that up, Coach. But
Ray Horton,
you know,
played for Dick LeBeau, so they know each other. I mean, Horton was a DB with the Bengals when LeBeau was a defensive coordinator.
Yep. And you know, I think, you know, that defense was already pretty good, and you know, bringing Dick LeBeau in, I mean, the guy still got it. You know, I've went over this a million times. You know, be careful what you ask for. You know, I know they want to see what Keith Butler can do, and they didn't want to lose the young guy, but, you know, we'll see what happens. They'll
you already know
what
LeBeau can.
And I said in the beginning of the show, Coach, and you can agree or disagree with me, doesn't matter what defensive coordinator you bring into Pittsburgh, they've got a lot of holes to fill, aging defense with a lot of young guys that haven't stepped up yet, and they have a lot of things to fix on that defense, and I don't think the coordinator can do it. It comes down to personnel.
Yeah, they got enough offense. They'll be around 8-8, but they're in trouble without the defense. And they never spend money in free agency.
Then they're not going to be able to this year. I mean,
they're going to have to get rid of players, which is going to make even more holes. And it's going to take away the heart of your defense with Kiesel and Polamalu.
Yeah, they're estimated over the cap right now if they rolled the way they were. Cortez Allen, to me, is the biggest cap fatality there, giving him that crazy contract in the fall. His cap number, I believe, is like $6.9 million next year. I know why they did it. They thought they could get a steal for a good young guy that can develop, but I didn't see him develop at all this year. And so right now that contract looks like a bust.
And as you called in, Coach, the second part to me saying this, and we're probably going to get cut off at 12:45. We're just going to get kicked off the air. But for Big Ben, the Steelers need to get it done before the year because they might be able to salvage a little bit of cap room for the cap hit number if they restructure his contract, give him an extension, and depending on the guaranteed money, maybe gain a million or two to reduce his cap number. But if Big Ben goes out and throws like he did this year and he's got the weapons back, they're going to have to pay him. And if they do it before the season, they can probably get him for a little less than what they would do if they roll the dice and he goes out and throws again for, what, 4,500 yards and whatever touchdowns. You agree or disagree with that?
Well, I think as a Bengals fan, I think they should just cut their losses, let him go, and start Landry Jones.
And he should go to Cincinnati?
No, I mean, he didn't even have to go to Cincinnati. He just needs to leave Pittsburgh. And Landry Jones can do a good job. Big Ben ought to retire. He can go in the Hall of Fame in 5 years and have all his faculties. I think it'd be the best thing for him.
That's not happening,
Coach. I'm just looking out for Ben's health.
Yeah, you're looking out for Ben's health and the Bengals.
Yeah,
which
we'll see
okay.
How good Antonio Brown is when Landry Jones is thrown to him.
Yeah. But, you know, what are your thoughts on that? You think the Steelers should get it done before the season, or should they roll the dice and see what kind of season he's going to have?
I think they got to get it done now because he'll have a good season either way. He's got too good of wide receivers not to have a good season.
No, yeah.
So then you're going to be in the same
Bryant
situation.
He's going to be a good player. He's a deep threat for him. And I think if they roll the dice and wait, I mean, I don't see Big Ben going anywhere else. But I'm looking at the pocketbook of the Steelers. They can save a couple million a year if they get it done before the season. If they wait till after, then there's just going to be no way that he's not going to command a top five salary.
And
he
at some
may
point
do it
they're
before the
pay
season
Antonio
too,
Brown.
But at least you can negotiate a little bit. So
they're going to have to pay Antonio Brown soon too.
Yeah, they've got to really look at the roster this offseason. They made a couple moves and they've got some aging veterans. Palomalu, I believe, is a $4 million cap hit. Not worth it. You know, if he decides he wants to come back, I think he's on the downside of his career. They got to restructure that and they got to get him way down. They got to knock $3 million off that cap number. You know, and they've got a lot of things to do to get healthy in the salary cap again. So,
yeah, and they're like,
you know,
the
they
Bengals,
get away
they're
from
not going
to
go out
bit,
and be
and now
creative.
They're going to be behind the eight ball trying to fix it, but we'll see what
the
happens
way,
there.
The only way Pittsburgh fixes it is through the draft.
Oh, yeah. They've got some young guys, but, you know, they've got at that top end of that cap numbers. You know, you're looking at it from that standpoint that, and I keep going back, and people will hound me on it, that Cortez Allen signing, though, is sitting right there at the top of the books. Not the number one cap number, but, man, is he worth $6.9 million? I don't think so.
No. No. And the
I
other
don't
thing
think
they could
so.
Do, they could trade Big Ben for Johnny Manziel. That'd save him some money. Because no matter how good Big Ben is, he can't win in Cleveland. Nobody has since Otto Graham. So.
Well, it's just, you know, if I'm a quarterback and I hear Cleveland calling my number, I'm like, what do I want to do here? But anyway,
well,
Coach,
yep.
Thanks for calling in and, you know, sharing some time on the air with me so I didn't have to listen to myself talk for a whole 45 minutes.
That sounded like you were getting a little bored. I figured I'd give you a call.
I was talking about Big Ben, and I was going to wrap up the show and call it a night and go on from there. But you know what that said, Coach, I'll get everything set up for tomorrow night, 11:30 Eastern time, and, you know, we'll talk some NFL, maybe a little bit more about the Super Bowl. And I'll let you do your homework because I'm going to pose this question to you tomorrow night about the NFL having good product on the field but off the field. We talked a little bit about it tonight. What do we have to do to clean it up? So that'll be your homework
all right.
for tomorrow.
All righty. Well, I'll be home tomorrow. You give me a holler if you want.
Yeah, I'll see what I got going on. You know, it's one of those things, you know. I put on a really good front. I do nothing else all day except sit on the couch and do an Al Bundy all day. That's all I do. I don't do anything else. I don't run a network. I don't work. I don't do anything else. I do Al Bundy all day.
That's what I heard. But But I'll
well,
talk to you later.
To
I'll talk to you tomorrow,
Thanks
Troy.
Thanks for calling in. You and I will get back at it tomorrow night, buddy.
All right. See you, Troy.
Okay, everybody else, fasten your seatbelts. Put your foot on the gas.